In the realm of Alagaesha, where dragons soar and magic shapes reality, a young rider named Aragorn continues his journey from farm boy to legend. The story opens with Aragorn and his cousin Rohan hiding near Helgrind, a dark stone tower where the monstrous Razak have imprisoned Rohan's fiancée Katrina. As they witness a disturbing religious ceremony, we glimpse the moral decay festering within the Empire's territories, a society where perverse worship flourishes under Galbadorix's tyrannical rule. Before their assault, Rohan confesses to seeing the faces of men he's killed in his dreams. "The land was what was important to me, that and our family," he laments, revealing how ordinary people have been forced to become killers. Their conversation highlights the psychological cost of warfare, how violence transforms those who wield it, even when fighting for just causes. What happens when good people must do terrible things to survive? This question echoes throughout their journey as they prepare to face enemies who represent not just political oppression, but spiritual corruption in physical form. The attack on Helgrind culminates not in battle, but in moral challenge. After defeating the Razak and rescuing Katrina, Aragorn finds her father Sloane, the village traitor, imprisoned and blinded. Though execution seems justified, Aragorn hesitates at the threshold between justice and vengeance. Instead of killing Sloane, Aragorn discovers the man's true name, giving him power over the traitor's essence. This marks Aragorn's evolution from wielding physical power to exercising moral authority. His sentence is fitting. Sloane must live among the elves, separated from Katrina, until he fundamentally changes his nature. This decision forces Aragorn and Saphira to separate. She returns to the Varden with Rohan and Katrina, while Aragorn journeys alone. Their separation tests both dragon and rider, challenging them to function independently while maintaining their bond across distance. Isn't it curious how sometimes we must walk alone to discover who we truly are? While Aragorn journeys in solitude, Nasuwata faces her own trial of leadership. The trial of the Long Knives against Fatawar represents a battle of will and endurance rather than swords and magic. By accepting this tribal custom, enduring excruciating pain as cuts are traded on their forearms, Nasuwata demonstrates her commitment to unifying the various factions under her command. The contrast between Aragorn's and Nasuwata's trials highlights different approaches to power. Aragorn chooses mercy tempered with wisdom for Sloane, while Nasuwata willingly suffers physical pain to maintain her authority. Both demonstrate that true leadership often requires personal sacrifice and moral courage rather than simply dominating others. When Aragorn reunites with Arya, their discussions about justice reveal how his thinking has evolved beyond simple solutions. "The monsters of the mind are far worse than those that actually exist," Arya tells him when he admits to being troubled by psychological wolves. Their growing bond represents another kind of strength, the power of connection and understanding that transcends even magical abilities. Behind closed doors, King Orin confronts Nasuwata about overstepping her authority. "You act as if yours was the only verdict of moment, and the opinions of others are of no account." This conflict reveals how even allies fighting tyranny struggle with power dynamics. Those opposing dictators must guard against becoming dictators themselves. When Aragorn shares his decision about Sloane, Orin surprisingly approves, explaining that executing the butcher would have meant Aragorn assuming power that belongs to rulers. "Humans are a short-lived race, and we should not be governed by one of the undying," Orin warns, acknowledging the danger Aragorn poses to established order. Amid these political tensions, Rohan asks Aragorn to officiate his wedding to Katrina, a ceremony needed quickly because she's pregnant. This request anchors Aragorn to his humanity, despite his increasingly inhuman nature. As a dragon rider with magical abilities and extended lifespan, participating in this ceremony reminds him of the simple connections that make the fight worthwhile. Aragorn's attempt to remove his curse from Elva reveals how even well-intentioned magic can backfire. His carefully constructed counterspell only partially succeeds. Elva still senses others suffering, but no longer feels compelled to help them. "From now on, I shall answer to no one and no thing," she declares with unsettling glee. Her transformation from victim to potential threat illustrates how power changes people unpredictably. When she threatens to use her knowledge of others' fears for personal gain, she mirrors Aragorn's own potential for corruption. This cautionary tale extends to warfare when Aragorn encounters soldiers magically rendered impervious to pain. These men continue fighting despite grievous wounds, laughing as they advance. Not mindless automatons, but desperate men sacrificing themselves for their families under Galbatorix's promises. By removing pain, the natural consequence of injury, the tyrant creates warriors who fight beyond human endurance, forcing the Varden toward more brutal tactics. How far can one go in defeating evil without becoming evil? The revelation that Bram, not Morzon, is Aragorn's true father transforms his self-understanding. Instead of being the son of Galboratrix's right hand, he descends from a Varden founder. Through Saphira, Aragorn receives Bram's recorded message, acknowledging him as his son and expressing pride. This posthumous connection provides emotional closure while offering crucial advice. Protect loved ones and use intelligence over raw power against Galboratrix. With this new understanding, Aragorn seeks the weapon prophesied by Solumbum. His encounter with the Manoa tree, a pine containing an ancient elf's consciousness, reveals another form of power in Alagazia. After tense negotiations, the tree provides Brightsteel for a new sword in exchange for an unspecified future payment. The creation of Brisinger represents the completion of Aragorn's identity as a dragon rider. Through intricate forging, the elfsmith Runon transforms raw material into something greater, just as Aragorn's experiences have transformed him from farm boy to warrior. The sword's ability to burst into sapphire flames when Aragorn speaks its name symbolizes how this weapon is an extension of himself rather than merely a tool. The climactic battle at Feinster intertwines with tragedy as Aragorn witnesses his mentors Oromus and Glaedor's deaths through a magical connection. While fighting in Feinster, his consciousness sees them fall hundreds of miles away to Murtaugh, possessed by Galbatorix. This devastating loss leaves Aragorn and Saphira as the last free dragon rider pair in Alagacia. At dawn, they watch the sunrise over Feinster's battle smoke. Initially crushed by grief, they gradually find renewed purpose. Aragorn realizes they aren't truly alone. They have each other, their friends, and Glaedor's consciousness preserved in his Eldenari. Most importantly, they discover Galbatorix's weakness. His power comes from enslaved dragon consciousnesses, not innate ability. This transforms an impossible task into a difficult but conceivable one. As the third book concludes, they stand ready to face their greatest challenge with the knowledge that even the most powerful tyrant has vulnerabilities that can be exploited by those brave enough to try. In the end, isn't that the most powerful magic? Finding hope when all seems lost and continuing to fight when victory seems impossible.